Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
Cain and Abel were brothers, the first brothers, the first children, sons of Adam and Eve, sons who, like their parents, bore the image of God, the image of their Creator, as all people do, sons who, like their parents, bore the curse of sin, separation from their Creator, as all people do. Abel was a shepherd, keeping sheep, minding the flock. Cain was a farmer, working the ground, tilling the soil. In time, Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord, a tribute to the Lord, a gift, worship. They came before the Lord as priests. Cain offered the fruit of the ground, part of his harvest. Abel offered the firstborn of his flock, the best of his flock, the best portion of his flock. And God had regard for Abel's offering, accepted his worship, was pleased with it, but not with Cain's. Cain did not offer his best. Cain only presented a token of the harvest. Cain became angry, very angry, burning, raging within. And it showed. It showed on his face. It showed in his countenance. Then God spoke to Cain. Warns Cain. Listen again to verse 7. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Like a wild animal ready to spring, like a serpent coiled and ready to strike, sin was present. Sin was ready to act, desiring its prey. But Cain did not listen to the Lord. Cain did not heed God's warning. He opened the door. Cain killed Abel. Cain killed his brother, the first human death, the first murder, and it began in the heart. This act of sin began with sin in the heart. A murder unjustly taking the life of one created in the image of God begins in the heart, arises from the heart. Is a sin of the heart. Before murder is ever committed, there is anger in the heart, anger that is sudden and passionate, anger that can explode. Before murder is ever committed, there is hate in the heart, hate that is permanent, resentment, hate that in fact wishes someone were dead. Before murder is ever committed, there is envy in the heart, envy that only wants something that someone has, that not only wants something that someone has, but is willing to take it even at the cost of the other person, their life. Have you ever experienced those in your heart? This past week? Yesterday? Right now, towards someone you know, someone you know well, someone you barely know, someone you don't want to know, someone created, someone fashioned in the image of God. Sin is crouching at the door. Can you rule over it? Well, Cain murdered his brother, first in his heart, then with his hands. He broke God's law. He broke the sixth commandment. Do not murder. That's the prohibition. Do not murder. But remember, every commandment has two sides to it. If the commandment prohibits something, then it also prescribes something. If the commandment prescribes something, then it's also prohibiting something. Do not murder. And the prescription is this: uphold life. Uphold life. God's people, followers of Jesus, in living out the sixth commandment, are to uphold the holiness of life, are to uphold the sanctity of life. And our New Testament reading from Luke, one of Jesus' greatest parables, offers a picture of this. In this parable, Jesus tells us that a man was traveling, walking the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among some robbers. And not only did they rob him, but they beat him, they stripped him, they left him for dead. And even though the man was still alive, barely alive, these robbers had no regard for his life. They didn't care if he lived, they didn't care if he died. They murdered in the heart. Because of their envy, because of their desire to have what he had, a desire so strong that they were willing to harm the man, they broke the sixth commandment. They committed a brutal act of violence against a bearer of God's image. Sin crouched at the door, and they opened it. However, these robbers are not the only villains in this parable. These robbers are not the only lawbreakers in this story. Jesus describes how two religious leaders, a priest and a Levite, in Presbyterian speak, a pastor and an elder. In Methodist speak, a bishop and a pastor. In Baptist speak, a pastor and a deacon. Jesus describes how a priest and a Levite break the sixth commandment. Priests and Levites were holy men. They were respected men. They were revered men who served in God's temple in Jerusalem, chosen for their office not by training and performance, but by birth. You did not become a priest because you went to seminary. You had to be born to the right family with the right connections and the right status. To be a Levite, you had to be a descendant of Levi, one of the sons of Jacob, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, these two respected religious leaders did not rob. These two respected religious leaders did not commit a violent act. But just like the robbers, they broke the sixth commandment. Just like the robbers, they were guilty of murder. Why? How? Both the priest and the Levite saw a man in need, and both passed by on the other side of the road. Both the priest and the Levite saw a beaten, naked man lying by the road, and both avoided him. Both the priest and the Levite saw someone created in the image of God, broken and battered, bleeding and bludgeoned, and they looked the other way. Now, they probably had their reasons. Late for worship, wanting to get back home after being away. They had obligations to attend to. They just didn't want to get involved. Or perhaps they thought he was already dead, and then if he was, then what could they do? So they made the choice not to stop. They made the choice not to help. They did nothing, and in doing so, broke the sixth commandment. They murdered by doing nothing at all. Sin was crouching at the door, and they opened it. Now, some of you may be saying, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. So I can break the sixth commandment in my heart because of anger. I can break the sixth commandment in my heart because of hatred. I can break the sixth commandment in my heart because of envy. And now you're saying I can be guilty of murder by doing nothing? So how does that work? How is that true? Fair question. And the reason is this. The reason is this. If following the sixth commandment, if obeying the sixth commandment means we are to uphold life, that we are to consider life holy, then this has to be reflected in action. It has to be reflected in deed. Actions and deeds that flow from a heart of love. Actions and deeds that flow from a heart that reflects God's heart. In other words, upholding life has to be more than words. Upholding life has to be more than an idea that you hold to or a doctrine that you assent to. It means, as God's people, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to guard life. We have to protect life. It means we have to care for our neighbor in need. It means we must be concerned for the lives of those who are around us, the people who are around us, the people who we come in contact with each day. Now, whether that's the family that you live with, whether that's the students you're in class with, whether that's the people that you work with, or whether it's those that you pass by in cars or on the street or in Kroger or at Whole Foods or at Nuke's or at Broad Street, it means you must be the Good Samaritan. You must be the Good Samaritan. Now, Samaritans were hated by Jews, and the feeling was mutual. Jews considered Samaritans half-breeds and heretics. And the reason is this: Samaritans had some Jewish blood in them. Samaritans held some of the same beliefs as Jews, but they did not accept all of the scriptures. They did not consider the temple in Jerusalem to be the only place to offer sacrifices. So I am certain that when Jesus spoke this next sentence, more than one person in the room shifted uncomfortably. More than one person in the room had their face fall. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. This Samaritan had compassion. The Samaritan, an enemy of God's people, one despised by the Jews, had compassion. This Samaritan, not a priest, not a Levite, had compassion on this beaten, naked, half-dead Jewish man lying in a ditch. He saw him, and he acted. He pulled him out of the ditch. He bound up his wounds. He poured oil and wine on them. Then he set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now, the next day, the Samaritan paid the innkeeper out of his own pocket, and he spoke these words to the innkeeper: take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Well, the Samaritan, through his deeds, showed his deep belief that life is sacred, that life is holy. He opened his heart to another's suffering. He invested time and money. He got involved and messy. The Samaritan kept the sixth commandment. The Samaritan loved his neighbor. Loving your neighbor includes keeping the sixth commandment. Upholding life and guarding life is part of loving your neighbor, even if your neighbor is your enemy. Now, one of the great teaching tools in the history of our church tradition is the Heidelberg Catechism. Written in the 16th century, this catechism was used to teach children the faith in a question and answer format. And one of the questions on the sixth commandment asks this. This is the question: but is it enough that we do not kill any man in the matter mentioned above? And here's the answer. No. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. Keeping the sixth commandment. Guarding life, upholding life, loving your neighbor, being the good Samaritan. That's what God desires. That's what God desires from you and from me. That sounds easy, doesn't it? Now, I know we've already had confession, but it doesn't sound easy to me. And not only does it not sound easy, it's not easy to do. Our hearts rebel against it. Our time is sacred. Our money is scarce. We don't like to get involved. We don't like to get messy. And even when we do, there is the temptation to build ourselves up, to build ourselves up to be righteous, to congratulate ourselves, to pat ourselves on the back on how well we have loved. And then the focus becomes us. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for us. We must rule over it. But we can't. We can't. Cain couldn't. The priest couldn't. The Levite couldn't. Only one person ever has. Jesus. Jesus, the very Son of God. He never sinned, not once. Sin crouched at his door, but he ruled over it. He crushed the serpent for us and for our salvation. He is our Good Samaritan. Jesus is the Good Samaritan to you. Because of sin in your life, the sin in your heart, the sin that was crouched by your door and struck, you are like the man in the parable traveling the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, beaten, naked, broken, bleeding, having nothing, lying in a ditch by the road, as good as dead. But Jesus has come. The Son of God has descended, walked the road you were on. He has found you, looked upon you with compassion, looked upon you with divine love, and he pulls you out of the ditch, binds up your wounds, heals you, carries you to safety. Jesus saves you from certain death, saves you from eternal death. Jesus gives you life, and he pays for it with his own life. He pays for it on the cross, and he promises to return. He promises to come back and finish what he started. Jesus had compassion on us. Jesus has mercy on us. He loves us. He got involved. He got messy, even at the risk of danger, even at his own peril. Jesus kept the sixth commandment for you. Jesus has acted as your neighbor, forgiving hearts guilty of murder, forgiving hearts guilty of inaction, making you right, making you righteous before God. And therefore, because of Jesus, because of this Good Samaritan, because of his mercy and compassion on us, we can go and do likewise. Because of him, we can go and do likewise. We have seen and experienced the mercy of God, the mercy of our Father. We have seen and experienced neighbor love, perfect neighbor love in Jesus Christ, our Good Samaritan. And in his name and through the Spirit, we can go and guard life. We can go and uphold life. We can go and keep the sixth commandment.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.